For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. We continue our reading from verse 10. We read through verse 26. And the text of the sermon is found in this portion, the verses 22 through 25. The verses 22 through 25 is the text of the sermon, but we start reading now from verse 10. And there we read God's holy word, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. Then when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, do you know what an eye-opener is? If you look for a literal meaning, then it means that something or someone who opens your eyes. In our language, this is not what is usually meant. No, an eye-opener has a symbolic meaning. It means that all of a sudden you understand something. As it were, you begin to see something which you did not get before. For instance, a math problem which you could never solve is explained to you in such a way that you feel surprised that you now can solve it. The key to the solution is given to you, and you say, Aha, now I see it. That's an eye opener. Spiritually, we all need someone who opens our eyes, since we are blind to the truth of God. Our eyes need to be opened so that we begin to see what we did not. But we also need to understand what we see. We need to grow in grace and knowledge after our soul's eyes have been opened. We could say, we need a spiritual eye-opener. Well, there's one who is an eye-opener in person. Who is he? Well, he's revealed to us in the portion we want to study this morning. Jesus Christ is the eye-opener. That's the theme of the sermon. Jesus is the eye-opener. First of all, he opens the eyes of the blind. And secondly, he grants clarity of sight. Jesus is the eye-opener. He opens the eyes of the blind. He grants clarity of sight. The Lord Jesus and his disciples have arrived at the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee, near the fountainhead of the Jordan River. We are in the same region where the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000, also known as the miracle of the first bread multiplication. Bethsaida is mentioned here as the place where people found the Lord Jesus, that the rumors about Jesus' teaching and healing ministry had reached them should not surprise us. Bethsaida was not far from Capernaum, the place where Jesus stayed often. The people bring a blind man to the Lord with the request to touch him. Why does the Lord Jesus need to touch the blind man? Well, that's obvious. Namely, to heal the blind, to heal the man. This was the Lord Jesus' general way of healing the sick, namely by touching, by blessing them. We also know of the other way around, namely that those who desire to be healed touch Jesus. Does Jesus' touching emanate supernatural power? No, not as such. Jesus also healed people by his word. His touching has a symbolic meaning. The Lord Jesus touches the part of the body where the problem of the disease was located. He displays his compassion and shows that he understands the people's need. And he has power to heal. The Lord Jesus is compassionate by taking all the sorrows of the sick upon himself. And like as with the deaf and dumb man, as recorded at the close of the previous chapter, the Lord Jesus takes the man aside from the multitude. The Lord Jesus wants to be alone with the sick man since he wants his full attention. And in this story, we read that Jesus took him out of the town. He took the blind by the hand and led him outside. And so the Lord Jesus directs his way. That's a touching feature in this story. He took the blind man by the hand. Doesn't here the experience of the Lord's mercy begin? When you look back in your life and notice the Lord's gracious intervention in your life, then some of you may conclude, there the Lord started in my life. Well, I did not know really what was happening. The Lord took me by the hand and led me out. Well, I did not know what befell me. In my perception, I was in darkness, blind to spiritual matters. But the Lord took me by the hand and led me graciously. Well, the people who brought the man to Jesus must have felt disappointed. They were hoping to see a spectacular event which so often took place in Capernaum. But the Lord Jesus does not allow them to be spectators of the miraculous healing. He wants to teach this man privately. Only the blind? No, also the disciples. They witnessed the healing as well, and the Lord Jesus wants to teach them a specific lesson. But before we go into that, everyone needs to learn from the fact that a blind man was brought to the Lord Jesus. Because the blind man is a picture of us. That's something we should never forget. By nature, we are blind to God and His service. We do not notice God's power and wisdom in creation. We don't notice His wisdom, and we don't see that we are miserable as long as we live outside of Christ. And therefore, we need enlightened eyes of understanding. The eyes of our soul need to be opened. What does it mean? Well, it means that God shows us what we are and who God is. He opens our eyes for our depravity, the depravity of our hearts. He opens our eyes for God's holy demands. And we discover that we are in darkness, that we wander like a blind man, captured in our own blindness. But our problem is that we don't realize that we are blind. That cannot only be said of those who don't know God's word as a lamp for their feet and a light on their path. This is also applicable to those who know of the word of God as a light and yet abide in darkness. That was the case with the Pharisees and scribes. They knew the scriptures, but remained blind. They are mentioned in the portion prior to our text. Jesus warns the disciples for them, namely for the leaven of the Pharisees. They are blind leaders. They are called to lead the spiritual blind, but they are blind in themselves. That is not what they think themselves to be. They believe they see, and very clearly besides. But the Lord Jesus exposes their blindness. Recall the healing of the man born blind, as recorded in John chapter 9. There we read the Lord Jesus addressing them as blind leaders. In verse 39, we read that Jesus says that He has come into this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And then they are furious. They respond to Jesus' sharp words, "Are we blind also?" And then the Lord Jesus says, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth." It's not a minor thing that we know of the word if we are under the preaching of the gospel, but remain blind. What does it mean to be blind? It means that we have no true insight in who we are by nature and who God is in His holy and just demands. We don't realize that we are in a terrible plight, and we don't realize that we are in desperate need of the one and only surety and mediator given by God. And meanwhile, we may be serious church members. We believe that we are not indifferent, but we stand afar off, lacking true knowledge. There is no spiritual discernment at all. It should not surprise us if we meet these people in church, and I hope you have discovered that this is what you are by nature. What? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What kept the Pharisees and scribes in the dark? What caused their blindness? Their pride and reputation. We are blind as long as we think we can see. That is what the Pharisees believed of themselves. They considered themselves to be the leaders who had the best insight into scriptures, but they lacked true godliness. And as long as we lack true and personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blind. That's what Peter says in his epistle when he speaks about spiritual fruits. 2 Peter 1, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Then you are heading for eternal darkness, where you will regret everlastingly for not heeding the Lord's serious call. It's a blessing when we discover that we lack insight in spiritual matters, that we are actually blind. It's a blessing when we confess before the Lord, I am blind due to my own sin. Lord, wilt thou open my eyes? I am helpless. I am a fool. I am apt to accept any truth that suits me. But wilt thou teach me and cause me to bow under thy uncovering word and receive thy comforting gospel. Oh, if you must confess that you're still blind and you're urged to go to the only one who can heal your spiritual blindness, he comes very near to us under the preaching of the gospel and reveals himself as the great physician. He is willing and able to heal us from our blindness, and we need him as our eye opener. You are counseled by the Lord to get your eyes anointed with eye salve. Also this morning he says to you, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Jesus Christ is the one who opens blind eyes. And what a blessing if you are led by him, taken by the hand under the preaching of the gospel, and receive personal instruction outside the town without prying eyes, just you and the Lord. And that happens when the Lord applies his word to your heart by the power of his Spirit. Let it be your constant prayer. Lead me in thy truth. Show me thy way. But we continue at verse 23. The Lord Jesus has taken him by the hand, and the blind man expects the Lord Jesus to perform a miracle. He allows himself to be led by Jesus. And outside Bethsaida, the Lord Jesus uses sensible means to let the blind know what he is doing. In a way, Jesus' actions look similar to what he did to the deaf and dumb man, as recorded at the close of the previous chapter. Jesus touches the problem with his hand, and he spit on his eyes. That sounds weird and shocking, but by this means, the Lord Jesus makes clear to the man that he is very compassionate on him. Something very personal is given to him, namely spit. And Jesus displays his personal involvement with the man's healing. Jesus gives himself to heal, a truth that no one could understand at that time, but will be revealed later when the Lord Jesus gives up his life in order to save and heal miserable sinners. And the Lord Jesus touches him by putting his hand upon him. And by the Lord's power, this blind man will be healed. And meanwhile, the disciples witness the event. They witness the Lord Jesus performing these actions. Jesus takes his hand off the blind man and asked him if he can see aught. Jesus wants him to say if he could see anything. And the man looks up, and he opens his eyelids to try if he could see. And yes,
He could see. He had light in his eyes again. The man was not blind anymore. In truth, he could state, "I see."
What a miracle of grace.
The man was blind, but now he can see.
And maybe one of the children begins to shuffle and says, "Pastor, the man could see, but he did not see properly.
He was not healed completely."
No, you're right. We hear the man not only say that he can see, he says, "I see men as trees walking."
He can see,
but he does not have a clear vision. His sight is troublesome and vague. Probably this man could see in the past and therefore can express what he sees and what is lacking in his vision. And when he looks at the distance, he sees objects moving look like trees. They must be men. He can distinguish them from trees by their movements. He was not able to discern more details. He could only discern some vague contours. He received sight from the Lord Jesus, but it was obscure and hazy. And this is a strange event. We do not ever read of this in the Gospels again, namely that the Lord Jesus refrains from healing a sick person all at once. You're right. In the Gospels, we never read that people were healed in stages, but always in one go. Even people with multiple handicaps were healed in one moment. Recall the healing of the doubly disabled man who was deaf and dumb. Jesus did not need to heal him in two stages, first healing him from his deafness and then from his dumbness. No, as the Almighty Savior, he speaks and it comes to pass. He commands and it stands fast. So it is with all his healings. We repeatedly read that all who were brought to him with whatever disease were healed by him. No healing in stages. Why then here in stages? Well, we can imagine that the disciples were surprised. What is the Lord Jesus doing? This is not what they had expected to happen. And the Lord Jesus knows very well what he is doing. The healing did not fail. It all happened on purpose. Jesus wants to teach his disciples an important spiritual lesson, as we will see in our second point. Jesus as the eye-opener who grants clarity of sight. And for a better understanding, we need to keep the context of this miracle in mind. What has happened prior to this story? Well, the Lord Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples after feeding the 4,000 by multiplying bread. That was the second miracle of feeding a multitude. But the disciples seemed to lack insight into who the Lord Jesus is and what he does. They simply forgot the Lord Jesus' gracious dealings with them and the people. They did not process what they were taught. And when they were in the ship, the disciples realized that they had forgotten to take bread and discovered that they had only one loaf left. They started to be concerned about food and were not aware of the spiritual darkness because of their temporal worries. Had they forgotten what the Lord Jesus did shortly before they left? He multiplied bread. And then the Lord Jesus rebuked them. 17b through 18, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? They saw, but they did not perceive. Yes, they saw. I see. The Lord Jesus has called them one by one, and he has given them spiritual eyesight. Except Judas, all the disciples could state, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The Lord Jesus has selected them to be his disciples and to learn truths of which many others would remain unacquainted. And at times they considered themselves to be wise. And sometimes they felt the urge to offer the Lord Jesus some advice. They were privileged indeed. And the Lord Jesus says to them in chapter 4, verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He taught them the meaning of the parables. He taught them so that they would discern the truth. But what appears? More recently, the Lord Jesus said to them, how is it that ye do not understand? And that is what the Lord Jesus wants his disciples to know, namely that they are like this man who is blind but now can see. Yes, he can see, but his vision is very limited. He has very little discernment of what he perceives. He sees, but he can hardly distinguish men from trees. So it is spiritually with the disciples. They see. They were brought out of the darkness to his marvelous light. They see the Lord Jesus, and they believe that he is the Son of God. And soon they will confess that he is the Messiah. They know of that fundamental change in their lives. But what do they really understand? The spiritual insight is so limited. They are nearsighted. All they discern is hazy and blurry. And the Lord Jesus exposes their spiritual folly. What has caused this limited spiritual vision? Well, not the teaching of the Lord Jesus. That was plenty adequate and appropriate. The problem was their heart. There was little understanding, since they had a low view of the Lord Jesus. Though he showed his power often by healing so many, they lacked a sight of his power and of his wisdom and sovereignty and righteousness, long-suffering and grace. They had a sight of him, but it was so limited, so that they could not properly discern. They saw men as trees walking. And what will be your answer? If the Lord were to ask you, can you see? Can you see properly? Or would your answer also be like this man at best? I see men as trees walking. You feel that your knowledge is so limited. You know that you are a sinner, but your knowledge of sin is so little. You know of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you hardly discern the beauty and necessity and suitability and fullness of Christ. You confess to know the Lord Jesus by faith, maybe with much trepidation, but you cannot deny the Lord's gracious work in your life. But do you see properly? What does it mean to see clearly, to have spiritual discernment? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit teaches us by applying God's word to our hearts. And then we begin to see things which we never saw before. When the Lord opens our eyes and grants us a sight of self, then we learn that we did not commit some sins, but that we are inclined to all evil. And the things we have heard before become so real and tangible in our lives. We abhor ourselves because of sin and feel sorry towards God because of sin. We humble ourselves before the Lord and make confession of sin very personally. And at the same time, we see that with the Lord Jesus is forgiveness of sin, even for such wretched sinner as we are. We get a discerning sight of his person and his work. He becomes increasingly important to us, and we see that his finished work is sufficient to forgive all our sins. We experience that the Lord Jesus delivers from the power of sin, and that with him there is power to daily renew our hearts and lives. We increasingly need his grace. And it all happens when we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much more to say. You get the sight of his threefold office, namely that he is the eternal King, only high priest and chief prophet and teacher. And you get to know him in his names, and you need him in his human and divine natures. You find rest in the Lord while you are in the valley of trials and difficulties. You increasingly learn that there is so much more to discover, and you increasingly learn that you know so little, and you lean on him and him alone. But what happens when we lack a clear spiritual insight? Well, then we easily get confused. We easily get confused by all that happens around us and in us. We get confused by the unrest of the world and by the many things that demand our attention. We easily forget to look to the Lord and have a low view of him, and we have a low view of him. We are easily enticed by the attractiveness of the world, and we easily join in the pleasures of the world, which will lead us to despondency, spiritual laziness, backsliding. And unfaithfulness will readily overcome us if we forget to pay attention to the Lord's teaching. And then we lose sight of what really matters. No, we still can see. And we know that we were blind, but now see. But we see men as trees walking. And maybe you think you are doing spiritually quite well, but you are not, since your focus is not on Christ in all things. We do not heed all the Lord's instructions. The instructions we don't like, we lay aside. It would be a blessing if there are many in our days who confess in humility, "Lord, teach us, open our eyes, grant us spiritual discernment, since I know so little and I fear my own deceitful heart." Or are you always sure that your opinion is the best? Are you sure that your understanding of spiritual matters is from the Lord? We so need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who leads in all truth. And he needs to apply the word to our hearts time and again, And without the Lord's ongoing obligatory work, our sight will remain blurry. And at best, we remain nearsighted and barely discern the Lord's teaching. Well, when we discover our lack of insight, we will covet His teaching. Are you in need of Him? Then you are blessed, because the Lord condescends to us right now by providing spiritual lessons with the healing of this blind man. The man in this story needed the Lord Jesus' second phase of healing. He was again in need of the Lord Jesus after receiving some sight. Yes, he could see, but he lacked discernment, and he makes his confusion known after Jesus asked if he could see anything. He did not cover up his deficiency. He did not ignore it. No, he frankly told the Lord Jesus that it was not clear. And those who become honest before the Lord because of their lack or poverty of sight will be blessed. We read in verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And now he can see clearly after the Lord touched him again. And what does he see now? Well, he does see trees. He sees trees and men. And he can discern them clearly. Now he has a clear view of everything. Jesus opened his eyes and gave also a clear sight of everything. Jesus is the eye-opener. And that was an eye-opener for the disciples. The Lord exposed their poor view of spiritual matters. But he also showed them that there is one who is able and willing to give them a clear sight of him. The one who commands to look to him is also the one who gives a sight of himself. Jesus is the eye-opener for all spiritual truths. For a clear understanding and insight, we need the Lord Jesus. What do you lack? Maybe you lack assurance. You're easily tossed up and down between hope and fear, which leads to anxiety and despondency. You need a clear sight of Him who has merited life for those who can offer nothing but guilt. He has paid the penalty in the stead of His people. He is the perfect Savior who will never leave nor forsake His own. Salvation is secure in Him. Or do you lack self-knowledge and therefore spiritual life is so shallow? He is the eye-opener who shows you the abomination of sin by granting you a sight of His deep suffering and hellish agony. As sin becomes so bitter, and our eyes are opened for the love by which He has loved us by giving Himself over to death. Or do you lack zeal for Him and His service? He is the eye-opener who shows you how good it is to serve Him by giving you a sight of His goodness, faithfulness, and mercy. Who else would you serve but Him who has compassion on miserable sinners and who will fulfill all His promises for His own sake? Jesus is the eye-opener. And all of a sudden, you realize your own folly. Unexpectedly, He gives you insight into spiritual truths so that you stand in amazement and wonder why the Lord is so good to you. such an unworthy sinner. That's what the Lord does by the work of His Spirit. And when the Lord applies His word to our hearts, He gives us insight into His person and His redemptive acts. That's what He does. In the midst of our circumstances, whatever that may be, there can be difficult trials which we must process. And that can be very painful and humbling. And yet, if we receive a clearer sight of the Lord Jesus, then we are comforted and our hope is renewed. He is the eye opener to all truth and wisdom, to all comfort and hope. Jesus is the eye opener. Isn't that what we also read in the story of the two men who traveled to Emmaus? These disciples were not blind. They both sincerely loved the Lord Jesus and they believed in Him. And yet they missed a clear understanding of His ministry. Jesus was their hope, but all hope was gone, since they could only see what was in sight. And they failed to look beyond their immediate circumstances. But when He teaches them from the Old Testament, He opens their understanding. And by the opening of His word, He opens the eyes of understanding. And they received enlightened eyes of understanding by renewal. And then they understood the scriptures. And then they knew Him. When He opened their eyes, then they perceived Him accurately, genuinely. Well, that is what characterizes spiritual life. What? To discover that we know so little and that we are in need of Him who is the eye opener to all spiritual blessings and who distributes that insight abundantly. Oh, if you must complain about a lack of knowledge and insight of spiritual matters, then you are admonished to go to the Lord Jesus and to sit at His feet. He welcomes everyone who is in need of His teaching, and He will provide so that you will desire to be taught more and more. Once a student, always a student. But the healing of the man in stages points us also to another reality. Namely, to the reality that will appear soon when the Lord Jesus comes again. And every eye will see Him. And then there will be no hindrances anymore to seeing the Lord Jesus as He is. And then all those who have loved His appearance in this lifetime will see Him and know Him perfectly. In this lifetime, there will always be times that we experience men as trees walking. We experience that we know in part. And if it is well, all true believers suffer from that from time to time. That's also necessary. We know in part, so that the hope to know Him in full will get stirred up. Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." Yes, the Lord will open our eyes of that perspective, namely for the living hope of all believers. And isn't that what we also need every day? How easily we are preoccupied with the matters of this lifetime, with our cares, with our concerns, with the upbringing of our children, with our business or our studies, and then we lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the eye-opener. He is the eye-opener who gives a sight of his everlasting future. And let us follow the conduct of the Old Testament believers as stated in Hebrews 11. They profess to see the fulfillment of God's promises afar off. Their eyes were opened for God's faithfulness. Jesus was their eye-opener. And we need his healing grace by which he delivers us from all nearsightedness, which causes our unfitness to discern God's future. But when he gives us insight into the future of his kingdom, then vistas are opened up to us. And then we begin to see that all in this lifetime will work for our good, and that he is weaving threads of trials and difficulties in our lives to teach us to look away from all that is temporal and to look to him who is the living mediator, who always labors for the well-being of his children. And in that perspective, we can discern what really matters in life and see communion with him, the eye-opener for every prospect and eternal blessing. Dear child of God, what is your perspective? Maybe you experience that the Lord provides grace sufficient for today. That's an undeserved blessing, isn't it? But what about the future? Do you see no more than some blurred contours? Oh, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eye-opener for the eternal well-being of God's church. Hope thou in God, his word believing. Thou shalt behold his face receiving the blessings of his countenance fair. What bliss beyond compare. Come to him and abide with him, who is the eye-opener. Look unto him and be ye saved. Amen.